In the Holy Bible, dear congregation belonging to Christ, you find the gospel of salvation proclaimed in so many different ways, with varied expressions and pictures from everyday life. The Lord is so good in doing this in His Word for us. And this worship service, we want to turn our attention to Isaiah 61 and to this gospel expression we find there, beauty for ashes. This is all we may know about our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what He does for those who come to Him in repentance and faith. He gives to them, to those who mourn in Zion, among other things, He gives beauty for ashes. Does this not sound most attractive to you? As we gather together this morning for this worship service on this special Sunday when we may also have the Lord's Supper here together, will you hear and relish the gospel promise and pledge, beauty for ashes? Our text is taken from the Old Testament, from the part of the book of Isaiah where the prophet is speaking words of comfort to God's people. He had earlier prophesied about Judah's fall and their exile into Babylon. Yes, on account of their continued rebellion and idolatry and sin against the Lord. But in Isaiah chapters 40 to 66, the inspired prophet speaks in God's name about the coming restoration and renewal of the people of God, those who trusted Him. And the people, in God's grace and mercy, would not remain in captivity. You know that story. No, as God's anointed servant, Isaiah, he may proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He may preach good tidings to the poor and needy. Now, it's very clear from the whole of Scripture that these words of our text refer not just to God's work of bringing the Jews out of Babylon and back into Jerusalem. No, in fact, these words refer ultimately to Jesus Christ and to His once for all saving work to save us from sin and Satan, death and hell. And the passage we read from Luke 4, it just guarantees that for us, doesn't it? For Jesus reads Isaiah 61, and then He says to the people in the synagogue of Nazareth, His hometown, today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, Jesus proclaimed Himself as the anointed, the appointed Savior who came to preach good tidings to the poor and to the meek and to give them that mourn in Zion, among other things, beauty for ashes. Now, without question, our text then points to Christ and to His saving and sanctifying work. Jesus is this kind of Savior of sinners. We need to know this. He gives beauty for ashes. Ashes. Even the children in church, I think, will know what that is. Ashes are the unburned or the burned particles and white grayish powder left remaining after something has been burned. Maybe, and I'm sure you had campfires this summer and you saw the wood pieces, however big and many you may have thrown on the fire, it all ended up becoming ashes. In the Bible, we find ashes were used symbolically. Can you think of ways it was used symbolically? Sometimes people would put ashes on their head or sit in ashes when they felt deep sorrow over their sins and were repentant of their sin. We read that of King Nineveh, for instance, when Jonah came to Nineveh, that upon the preaching of Jonah, he arose in repentance and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Job as well. We are told in Job 42, after he received a glimpse of who God is in all His glorious wisdom and power and holiness, that Job said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Daniel in Babylon, he prayed when he recognized, oh no, 70 years in Babylon, he prayed in sackcloth and ashes before God. More examples could be given to show ashes were used to symbolize repentance and sorrow of sin. What else were ashes used in Bible times for? Were not ashes used to symbolize sorrow and grief on account of heavy trials and difficulties? People would sit in ashes to indicate having passed through or dealing with fiery trials of one sort or another. The ashes helped indicate somehow being brought to nothing, even as the ashes which have been burned. Again, the classic example for this is, of course, Job. In his story, you know, perhaps, when Job lost all his children and all his possessions, and when he was afflicted with terrible disease, it's stated in Job 2, verse 8, Job sat in the midst of ashes as an expression of his untold grief and calamity. Then too, ashes also were and still are an emblem of death, aren't they? Contrary to Christian practice and what God promotes in his word, many people in heathen lands during Bible times and still today, they have their bodies cremated after death. This happens a lot also now in Canada. In Canada, 60 to 70% of those who die are cremated. Without now getting into discussion about that fact, something which by itself shows the increasing secularization of our Western society, the point is, after cremation, all that remains of the body are a few ashes. With funerals today, it's not uncommon, is it, to hear the words, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. So, thinking of ashes, they symbolize sin and sorrow from sin. They symbolize going through deep distress and much suffering in this life. And they symbolize death and despair in the face of death. Ashes. The use of them would seem to indicate in general that the fire of life has gone out. When people would put ashes on their heads or sit in ashes, they meant to say, as it were, these ashes from which all fire is gone out are like ourselves. We too are spent. Our fire of hope has burned out. Our joy, our confidence, our strengths have all departed from us. There's no light and life in us, left in us, only the black ashes of despair and those cold, dirty, dusty ashes of hopelessness. Who knows? It could be one or more of you here this morning could be in that kind of frame of mind and heart right now. If you think about your spiritual life and your walk with God, you may say to yourself, how much true spiritual life is there really in my life? Ashes. Yes, just ashes. That describes my spiritual life, if I'm honest. Indeed, you might be saying with lament while sitting there in the pew, I'm so little on fire for God. I know so little of joy and confidence and strength in the Lord. My sins and my sinfulness again and again seem to gain the upper hand. There is so little growth in my life in the ways of God. Thinking too of preparatory week, you might say it was hardly on my mind all week. Oh, I was intending to reflect on it more, but the busyness of life and apparently my own lack of faith and faithfulness still in God's ways again took over. You lament with Paul, perhaps, how to perform what is good, I do not find. Indeed, ashes, just ashes. Yes, that's the picture of my life and my situation in so many respects. And yes, it will be my future too, left to myself, for sure. Ashes, it's a word descriptive of those who mourn in Zion. Ashes, it's a picture of those who mourn over past and present sins, who sorrow over past and present imperfections, who lament because of all too little sweet communion with God, who grieve because of so much lack of consistency and growth in the ways of God, and the generally weak and worldly state of the church altogether. Ashes, it serves as a symbol of those weeping because of the trials and struggles of life and because of the devastation and deep-rootedness of evil in our lives and even in the church and in this world, without a doubt, and considering God's righteous judgment upon it all left to ourselves. Ashes, that's what our life is, really yours and mine, left to ourselves. That was the case too for God's people exiled in Babylon. Ashes. Their temple was in ashes even. Their city, symbolically, it told of their evil and dismay as a people. But now listen to what our text says. I didn't write it. God wrote it. The Lord, the triune God, he will give beauty for ashes. Yes, that's what the Lord does. In his saving and sanctifying work on sinners' behalf, who turn to Christ Jesus, turning from sin and trusting him once and again, he gives beauty for ashes. What does that mean? Well, it means when calling upon the Lord for his mercy and help, in repentance and faith, then you will find the Savior come and take away the ashes on your head and all that it represents and give you instead, as it were, a crown of beauty, a crown of salvation, a crown of hope and glory. Beauty refers here to the saving, sanctifying, merciful, gracious, good-doing work of the Lord in all our needs for body and soul. And you see, this is the great gracious gospel message, isn't it? It's what makes me want to be a preacher. Your sins and sinfulness and mine, however great it be, the Savior can remove and blot it all out completely. Your dismal and discouraging situation, whatever it be, the Savior can transform totally. And death itself, oh, he can change that too, radically, making it no longer the wages of sin, which leads to eternal condemnation, but rather, as the Catechism beautifully states, it's no longer a punishment for sin, but only an abolishing of sin and a passageway to glory. The Lord Jesus Christ, you see, he has all the authority and the ability and the willingness to save sinners and to give to sinners that mourn in Zion beauty for ashes. With him, the promised Almighty Redeemer, congregation, all the defilement and disfigurement and despair on account of our sins in our lives and in this world and our sinful condition, it can be all removed by grace through faith in him. Instead thereof, beauty is given. Beauty for ashes. I mean, what an exchange. Delightful, durable beauty for dusty, dirty ashes. It may sound too good to be true, I know, but it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, Old Testament, New Testament. Hear it now from Isaiah 61. Jesus can and does make the person whose life is marred with the dust and grime of sin, who's covered with smutty ashes of darkness and guilt and despair. He can and does make such a person who calls on him clean again and bright with joy and peace and alive again, beaming with hope. Beauty for ashes. Beauty in exchange for ashes. Yes, this is what the Savior of sinners excels and delights in, giving beauty for ashes. And you know what? Our text suggests even in a very unique way that the Lord can exchange beauty for ashes without difficulty. For all who appeal to him, it would cost him greatly, and we'll come to that. But the Lord our Savior, he's mighty to save, and he delights to save. He's most willing and ready to forgive and to renew. And indeed, with holy ease, respectfully speaking, he makes a change in his people's state and condition as they come to him in repentance and faith. The Hebrew text brings this out most clearly and more clearly than the English translation. Let me explain. In the original, the word for ashes and the word for beauty is in both cases a three-letter word, just three letters, with the same letters used. Only one letter is reversed to change it from ashes to beauty. It's something like we would do with dog and God. Dog and God. There's one letter reversed, or two letters reversed, and you get a big change. And the point is, congregation, as readily as we change a word or a single letter, so readily and willingly and supremely, yes, simply, does the Almighty, most gracious, holy God of all comfort alter the state and condition of his own for as many as come to him and for as often as you and I come to him. So when you are at your lowest, don't just conclude that your case is hopeless or that it is well nigh impossible for things ever to change for the better in your life. Oh no, but come to Jesus just as you are with all your ashes and see if he will not give you beauty for ashes. As far as I know, he hasn't run out of giving beauty for ashes. We know for sure he hasn't. The Lord inclines his ear to those who mourn in Zion. And to say it something like the Hebrew text says it in our verse, you know what that means? It means to as many as come to him. It means even in your lowest state, he comes. He promises to turn all your sighing into singing, all your musing into music, all your sadness into gladness, all your repentings into rejoicings, all your tears into triumph. With the crucified and risen Redeemer, now endlessly exalted in glory above, nothing is too hard and much less impossible, and his resources are forever unending. He gives beauty for ashes. Really and repeatedly, richly and freely. From the cross to the crown, from the thorn to the throne, from misery to majesty, from calamity to comfort, from guilt to grace, from ruin to redemption, this is something the Lord is most capable of and ready to do, even for the chief of sinners who comes to him, pleading his mercy and his grace. Listen, the Lord gives beauty for ashes. He speaks, and it is done. This is the word of the Lord to them that mourn in Zion. He gives them, note that word gives in the text. He gives to them freely, without money, without price. Don't we read that in Isaiah 55? He gives beauty for ashes. As ashes symbolize all that sinful and distressful, sad and hopeless and worthless. Well, beauty here includes in our text all that's holy, right, good, joyful, and blessed of God. Beauty for ashes. Congregation, this is the gracious exchange the Lord makes for as many as call to him in repentance and faith. The Lord's Supper preparatory sermon, remember, was he doesn't despise the broken in heart, the broken and contrite who come to him. But you say, Pastor, how can the Lord make this gracious exchange toward his people, not just once, but time and again? Yes, also for me. And the answer is, and you know it, I'm sure you know it, but we need to be told it, don't we, and be assured of it. It lies all in Jesus Christ and in his anointed person and blessed work as promised Messiah, as crucified and risen Redeemer of sinners. The people in Nazareth were saying about Jesus, he's just the son of Joseph, the carpenter, but they could have known better. He was mighty God. They saw that. And we know he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus, God, in the second person, come in the flesh, come to seek and to save sinners. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance by all peoples. He's a mighty Savior, a merciful Savior for undeserving sinners. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, for he, the Lord, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And what a Savior he is. Think of him on the cross. Oh, how they covered his sacred head with ongoing spittle and blood and bruises, and they marred his beauty beyond recognition. He suffered as sin bearer for sin, not from himself, but from his people, as many as looked to him in faith. And oh, how it made him the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief in the time of his humiliation. Jesus took our spirit of heaviness as he lay prostrate in the garden beneath the load of God's wrath for sin. And he crawled there almost as a worm, as the Bible says, as the just for the unjust. In Isaiah 53, it was prophesied 700 years before. There was no beauty in him as suffering Savior, that sinners like us might be beautified now and forevermore in and through him. with Jesus' finished work on Calvary's cross, something of which the Lord's Sacrament, of course, visibly and vividly reminds us about. There we learn, don't we, the secret of Jesus' saving power and grace. Jesus, the Son of God and Son of Man, he suffered and died for sin on his people's behalf. And so perfect and precious was his atoning work that now through his shed blood and his once for all sacrifice, he can cleanse us from all our sins and always give us beauty for ashes to as many as call upon him. And I love it, for as often as we call on him. Well, does this all sound too good to be true? Too simple to be real? Too hard to believe? Oh, the Lord knows how slow of heart we can be to embrace his precious gospel word with all trust and confidence. And so he instituted the Lord's Supper, didn't he? The Lord's Supper is given, as the Heidelberg Catechism put it, more fully to declare and to seal to us the promise of the gospel. And with that, we have such a gracious Redeemer from God triune for us and with us in Christ the Savior. And the Lord, he desires his people also here now to rejoice in his salvation. And so he'll call you to come for the communion. You who are mourners in Zion, come with all your ashes. Come in remembrance of him. The Lord's Supper is a means of grace by which the Lord would assure us about the loss he took to give us salvation gain. Beauty for ashes is an undeserved, gracious, blessed exchange in which there's a double profit on our side. We lose a loss, and the gain is pure gain for us. From our Lord, the blessings of love are all of free grace, and therefore let him have all the praise. This too is the real purpose of the sacrament, isn't it? To strengthen us in the faith. And that we say, what shall I render to Jehovah now for all the riches of his consolation? With joy I'll take the cup of his salvation and call upon his name with thankful vow. Beauty for ashes. This the Lord will give to them that mourn in Zion. But what if you don't mourn in Zion? That is, what if you are not repentant for your sins, nor seeking and desiring to live in obedience to the Lord and his word? What if then? Could it be some here are like that, just plainly unmindful, like in Isaiah's day too, unmindful of the things of God, unconcerned about sin in your life and in this world? Oh, if you are not a mourner in Zion, then you are not a true believer either. With no conviction of sin in your life, you won't be looking to Jesus as only Savior and Lord. You won't. If you are not a mourner in Zion, you don't need the Savior. And you won't call upon him in spirit and truth. Oh no, be sure to get this. It's not that mourning for sin saves us ever, but it's the way that God saves sinners. By his gospel word and the call of the gospel, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and so causes us to see our guilty condition of ourselves by nature. And in this way, he leads us to the Savior who alone can save us from our sins. May God by his Spirit yet awaken any of you to your sins and sinfulness who are thinking you don't need the Savior. For the Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If saved, you will be. The Lord's Supper is for mourners in Zion, who trust and follow Jesus Christ as their only Savior and Lord. Is that you this morning? By God's grace and Spirit. And what reasons to trust and follow him? For he gives beauty for ashes. This is what the Lord will do for those who mourn in Zion. Yes, I was thinking, even if you must mourn because you mourn so little, you are invited to come still to receive beauty for ashes. It's true, isn't it? We must admit as believers, even our repentances, even our good works, our prayers, they are in so many ways just ashes in themselves. Don't try to come to Christ and his table with the beauty of your own before God. There's no beauty in your ashes. You and I have no beauty in ourselves. Ashes, that's all we can give to the Lord of ourselves. But he gives beauty for ashes. Beauty in exchange for ashes. Do you hear it? Beauty for ashes. That's what the Lord gives and does so always for his own name's sake, that people like you and me, sinners, saved by grace, might ever receive out of his fullness grace for grace, to the praise of God triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Therefore, the invitation with Lord's Supper is what every time? Do this in remembrance of me, in reliance and celebration of me, the Savior God, who gives beauty for ashes. Oh, what a precious gospel expression. Don't you think so too? Even so will you too participate, dear confessing believers, in the gospel feast set before us this day. Yes, in honor to the Savior of sinners, that blessed Savior who always, for his own name's sake, delights to give beauty for ashes to all who come to him, for as often as we come to him. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, what a Savior you are. And thank you for this little expression that's so full of gospel tidings. Please feed your people by the word and now also with the sacrament, that we may feast in you today and so be strengthened and live to your praise and honor. Please help us further now and grant that all may be done decently and in good order. And may we not forget the little phrase, beauty for ashes. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.